Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am really grateful to have you here with me on this beautiful October 12th day, 2019. We're going to look at our old nemesis and friend, change. Very, very difficult for most people to change. And I get a lot of emails regarding the whole idea of changing and how to change and what to change and all of that. And we're going to take a really good look at it today and hopefully be able to help you. I want to remind you that these radio programs, as is everything on Aspire, allows me or is allowed by your donations, your tax-deductible gift. It is only through your contributions that I am allowed to be here on the radio to do my hospice work, to do my BATMO work with children, and to just generally do my work to serve humankind. And without your donations, this would not be possible. You're listening to this radio program via the graces of some very kind, loving, and loyal sponsors that make all this possible. Our mystery donor, we are in our fall, autumn, year-end drive to raise money to sustain our radio program and our work in general, just serving humankind. And it is not an easy task. There's a lot of people who just listen and take and take and take and never consider giving back a little bit to support this. Our mystery donor is matching donations to the end of the year, and it is through your contribution that this will all happen and sustain itself. So if you've been listening to this radio program and have found it at least interesting, or you have found it to be helpful, I hope that you will make a donation or become a sponsor, which would really help. He will match sponsorship. So a sponsor is a person who quarterly or monthly gives a donation, and he will match that should you choose to do something that generous and that kind. And I would really appreciate it. It will help so much for your donation. You get access not only to the message of the month, but all of my podcast, videocast, and commentaries. And these commentaries are really for people who are, more serious, more diligent about their inner work. They want to know what it's all about or what the difficulties are, things like that, and how to overcome them and what needs to be altered or changed. The commentaries are the commentaries. There's nothing like them for spiritual work on the internet, I believe. There's nothing like them. They are accompanied by my podcast and videocast. So if you are a semi or at least diligent, serious student, and you really want to know the way, the truth, and the light a little bit here, I think you'll find them very helpful. And they're all a part of the package of being a sponsor. Go to the website, if you would please, at aspire.org, and there you will see on the splash page a little story, and it's really an interesting story, my year-end story. It's about everything being way easy and missing the point of our entire life. And then maybe you will be kind enough to be a sponsor. The hardest thing, I think, for people to initiate in their life is this thing called change. And I think the difficulty lies in the idea that we don't know what to change or how to change. And we're very skeptical of change because we just don't see the value of it or the purpose of it or the reason for it. What should you change? And if you do change, how is it that you would do it? And how is it you would do a change that you yourself maybe wouldn't support? You don't want to make that change. There's a lot of things involved. So I chose three questions I think will help us all and maybe help you in the change thing. First one comes from Peter. He lives in Southern California, he says. My life is getting worse, Greg. Bills, people, difficulties, etc. All these things that most people go through. Are there some people who just can't make changes and have difficulty in surviving. Peter. There are people, many people, who have great difficulty surviving. These people live all over the world. And I don't think it's easy to survive in this world that we have made for ourselves, because there's a lot of skepticism. There's a lot of selfishness. There's a lot of pride. There's a lot of deceit. There's a lot of things that are going on day to day, hour to hour, moment to moment, that aren't very healthy. And I feel that we have lost our salt has lost its savor. Our love has lost its meaning. To us, we love only what imbibes our desires and fulfills our desires and our gratifications and all of that. We live in this constant of wanting to get, have, and live for the sake of stuff and our own survival. So you say, my life is getting worse. It is getting harder and harder out there to live the way we do, to live as we do. It's very, very difficult. People are unkind and cruel, and you're right. And you say your bills are difficult, and you just want to know, are there some people who are not meant to survive? That is a very, very interesting question, Peter. I don't know. You know, you're here. You have the capacity to survive, but at what level of survival are we talking about? That, to me, is the real question. If you don't want to survive, you know, I don't know what you do. What do? Go on some government program? I don't think there are any. I don't know. I don't know what you would do. That's not my forte. But the level of your survival might be an interesting thing to look at. Do you want to survive? Do you want to work? Do you feel overwhelmed by your life? How did you live when you were a little boy? How did you live in your family? What was your genetics? You got to look at the genetic state, how you survived in that, or if you survived in that, or what that's all about, because we often follow our genetics, and that's the sad part. We never transcend them. We never go beyond them, but a lot of people just don't want to work, and that's something that I find very interesting. Men and women that I meet all the time, whether I'm in the airport or doing something, you know, here in my little village where I live, people will talk to me, oh, I hate my job, oh, I wish I didn't have to work and all that. And I never hear anybody say to me, you know, I love working, I love my job. I have students that do. I have students that love their work, absolutely love it. And I am grateful for that. That takes a lot off their plate karmically. So that's a beautiful thing. They have found what... their reason, their purpose, they're energetic for their life. They really have found it. And they sustain it through their practice. And they would tell you that if they were sitting right here. They would tell you, I sustain my whole life through my practice. Because what I teach them is that the way you earn a living, the way you work, is a part of your practice, a very large part. It's about chopping wood, carrying water. It's about doing things that are beyond the threshold of our desire for wealth and comfort and ease and all of that. We start to see things in the light of a much bigger picture than we've ever had before. So when you start to look at your life a little bit and you start to look at the state of your work, the first thing you might want to explore is, Peter, are you doing what you love? And is what you love doing you? That's the big question. It isn't a matter of work. Most of us do have to work. But if you're going to work, which I think is a privilege and an honor, not a curse, then you must do things that you love to do, things that mean something to you, really mean something. something that sustains your energy and gives you a sense of purpose. If you have not found that in your life, you have missed your whole life, because a lot of what we do is contained in how we earn a living to eat and pay our bills and have a shelter over our head. Am I doing it in love? Am I doing it in kindness? Am I helping humankind by whatever I'm doing? Is that what I'm really doing? Or am I just hating everything I do and thinking to myself that whatever I'm doing is never going to be enough and I want to not do what I do for a living? I'm not in love with what I do with work. Work is a privilege. Work to me is an honor. Work is something you do to give back. It is a way of paying back. It's a way of paying back for past lives where maybe we weren't the kindest person ever walked the planet. Past lives where we maybe did things that were terribly, terribly unnecessary and unkind. It's about reconciling my entire life. And a lot of what we do with our work has to be looked at from the point of view that we would do it for free. You know, because I can. There are certain things that I must make restitution for my life. And a lot of people don't see their work as restitution for the kind of life they've lived, both in past lives and in this world. We just don't have that kind of scope. But it is true. To be able to see all of that, to know all of that, to recognize all of that. What an honor. What a privilege. Peter, I can't twist your head and say to you, now you just listen to me and do what I tell you to do. I can't do that. But I can tell you that maybe it would be good, maybe, to explore within yourself what it is you would love to do that would serve what you think of as the higher cause of your own life, and then see about doing it and not saying, well, I can't, or it's impossible, or any of that. Go for it. See what you can come up with. See what's possible. What Buddha said is true. See how you love and what keeps you from the journey. Always remember that. Peter, when you need a reset button, see how you love and what keeps you from the journey. I hope that helped you, dear one. Please forgive me. Namaste. A lot of people in his shoes, I think, in this world, a lot. The next one comes from John, and he lives in California. That's all he's going to tell me. That's okay. I know I need to change. I really know it. But change what? And what if I can't change? Then what? John. John, I have learned a couple of things in my day. Only a couple. And I have seen people do a lot of things in my lifetime. Most people lie to me. People don't tell the truth. They have difficulties, or they have conditions, or they're doing some mischief and they want to hide it from me, and they'll lie, just lie flat out. So I can't really help those kinds of people, and that's the majority of people I have to deal with in my life, one way or the other, and same with you, whether you know it or not. But there is one thing I have learned. People can afford whatever it is they really want. I want you to hear me. People can afford whatever it is they really want. If they want to give, they can afford it. If they want to buy something that is over their head, they'll buy it. They will find a way to afford it. And the same thing is with life and love. You say, I know I need to change, but what? And what if I can't? You can, if you really, really want to change, if you really, really see the value of change, you can do it. Absolutely, you can do it. Just like the money thing, you can afford to change anything in your life should you feel it is important enough to do it. And like most people, we put things off. Things that we don't see touching our skin. We love to do the things, make any change or whatever we can that touches our skin. If something is important enough to us and it touches our skin, it's something that pleasures us or pleases us or secures us or whatever, we'll make the change. We really will. But only under the threat that maybe, maybe if we don't, bad things are going to happen. And that's human nature. I'm not saying that's good. I'm saying that's human nature. You know, it's like this real ID thing I was reading the other day. About 40% of the people in this country who need to make that change to real ID, you know, so they can fly in an airplane and all that other crazy stuff, haven't done it yet. And they have a year. In October of next year, they have a year to do it, but they're not doing it. Imagine this. Let's play this game. Imagine if our taxes were based on a love offering basis and when you could pay your taxes. What if they sent you a bill and they say, you know, you pay this when you can, and thank you very much. Do you think people would pay it? No. I'll do it next year. I'll do it then. That's all the stuff I hear, you know, with donations, you know. He doesn't know I'm listening to radio. I don't know. I keep it, you know, on the down low. I'm not going to give him anything for this. I just want to get. That's the way people think. You know you need to change. Write down what you know you need to change. And then look at the list that you need to change and figure out which ones are most important to you. And then without further ado, just do it. You're going to find your body goes, what are you doing? What? Why are we doing this? We don't do this. We do this, this, and this, not that, that, and that. You'll find your body and your mind not wanting to change, not wanting to do any of it. Just going along status quo, living in the convention of the conventional, and it's going to cause great resistance because the human mind, the human body, human emotions don't want to change. They want to live your life on their terms. You have to understand this. Your human body, your human mind, your human emotions have a separate life from the one you are living right now. And they don't want to change. They want life on the terms they have made for themselves. And once you deeply understand this, once you see this for what it is, then you will understand what really needs to be changed. You're not just changing the format of your life. You're actually changing the actual gestalt of everything you do, your entire life. You're changing the way you think, the way you live, the way you operate. You're changing much more than just the human part of yourself. You're changing the way you interact with your heart, your authentic heart, not your emotional heart, your authentic heart. And if you make that kind of change into the authentic, then something will change within you. Something beautiful. Something magnificent. You have to want love more than wanting what you think is love. And John, if you can understand the nature of what I just said to you, you will change. And there are little changes in the beginning, but you just keep evolving and evolving. And your mind's going to go, well, what are we doing that for? Why do we need to do that? Or how come we have to do this? You just don't answer the question. You just keep changing. Build the foundation inside of you that we do what we are authentic about. And if you can't figure out what you're authentic about, then you need to sit down with yourself and meditate. Find out what is authentic in you, what is for real within you. Then you have something magnificent to work with. That's all I can say. Most people don't do this, and frankly, most people can't do it. So that's why we see the populace living and working at minimum wage, very unhappy, and eating fast food. It's just so sad to me. Anyway, give it a thought, okay? Thank you for listening. Please forgive me, hey? Namaste. I got to hurry here. The next question, or the last one, from Herb. I'm changing. I know I need to change. My body's changing. I've listened to you for years and snubbed you, but now I see my body is changing. You were right. Where does a really good change begin? Herb. Studying for your finals, Herb? It's about what it sounds like to me. When I first started being a Unity minister, I'll never forget it. I stood up there and I looked out over the crowd, and it was true wherever I was, wherever I served. It was all the elderly. And people would ask me, you know, why do you think that's happening? And it's because they're studying for their finals. They're dying. They had their life the way they wanted their life, and now they're dying, and they got to get out of this world and hope for a better life or figure out maybe a better way. It just goes on and on and on. It's insane. So this change, Herb, that you're talking about, you wanted out of the desperateness of getting old, and maybe you should explore why that's so important to you at this point. Why is this change so deeply important to you? What are you seeking? You can't just change. You got to find out what the change is all about. If you change with the accord of your body, in the accord of your body, as it heads towards death, you're only going to find depression. If you can live beyond that, if you can go beyond depression and fear and hate and into the compassion of a great love that lives within you and see the beauty of your entire existence in this world, your love of life will be quenched and you will start to find new things that need to be done in your life. I don't know what they're going to be. I don't even know the nature of them because I don't know you. But they will be something about serving love, doing everything you can to help others through the state of love that lives in your heart. This is one of the highest things you could ever do with the course of your lifetime, to serve love and help people in that love. This is a magnificent thing to do, not to argue with them, not to fight with them, not to defend yourself, simply to do those things that make love possible. In all of that, you change the ebb, the flow, and the scope of your daily living. And before you know it, you'll start doing things that are unconventional, like forgiving, like compassionate love, like giving. You will do things your inherited genetics could never do. And that will be a magnificent moment in the course of your lifetime. And that authenticates real love. I gotta go. I hope that helps you, dear one. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. Well, there we are. I hope that you make the changes that are important for you. We'll be back on the air tomorrow morning. Hope you'll join me. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.